Hey everybody, how's it going tonight? I'm stoked for this show, the Sunday Blues here on WBFO 88.7 FM. I'm your host Tommy Z, and I have a couple of legends, blues music superstars in the studio with me, and friends from way back. I'm so happy to see you guys. Tinsley Ellis and Tommy Castro are here. Say hi, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, Buffalo.
Hello. Yeah, they're in town tonight for...
Believe it or not, Tinsley and I are still alive. And
on tour.
And still playing the blues.
And the reports of your demise are grossly exaggerated.
That's right.
We're still kicking and still kicking them out. And it's really cool. Never expected to last this long, to be honest with you.
No.
Did you expect you were going to still be...
We were the kids for a while. Yeah, remember when we were the young punks?
I remember when a guy called me a kid. That was that one time, but...
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I remember too. And I'm probably the kid to you guys.
You were.
You were the kid to us. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You were the young guy that opened for me when I came to town the first time.
Same here.
I went, hell, I got to go on after this guy.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. On fire.
Oh, you guys are.
We were both singing your praises coming up here. We both know about your guitar work, and we're big fans.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. It's not why I had you on, but I really appreciate that.
When do we get our check?
You get your check?
Cash only.
I got to talk to PayPal about that. So let's talk about your show together. It's the TNT Tour, Tommy Castro, Tinsley Ellis. You're both artists on Alligator Records. And who's on the bus?
Well, you know, we're traveling in various vehicles, but I got my band, the Painkillers, Randy McDonald, Bowen Brown, Mike Emerson. Those guys have been with me now for 4 years, just roughly, just two records, the last two albums, Method of My Madness, and the latest one, Stomping Ground. And we're at that point right now where we've played together enough shows where... something's really good has started to happen. There's less effort for us to play well together every night.
Yeah.
It's starting to really, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then Tinsley's got a couple of really talented young guys in the band.
Young guys, I've got my grandson on bass.
Yeah. What?
No, that's
they're not from Nashville, right?
No, that's what somebody asked me. If he was my grandson, but I'm not that old. I got Kevin McCann on bass and Eric Kaczynski on drums. And Eric's been with me for 5 years now. And Kevin's the new guy. Started this year with the new album.
Is that Was Eric with you when we did that
show?
Yes,
when we jammed.
Skippers?
That's right.
Yeah, that was some of the best Elmore James I ever played in my life. With you, man. That was so legit.
I'm into it.
Awesome. Just awesome. So two new albums. We've got Winning Hand by Tinsley Ellis and Stomping Ground by Tommy Castro and the Painkillers. We can't forget about the Painkillers. And where were you guys recently on tour? You were in Homer last night?
Syracuse area, yeah. Homer. Yeah. At the Performing Arts Center, and it's a sold-out show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, there's tickets available tonight. You're playing at the Tralf Music Hall.
Yep.
And if you want to get down and see a phenomenal show, two of the greatest blues artists that have been doing it for the last few decades, you get to see them together tonight at the Tralf.
Interesting thing about this tour, I've done tours with other artists before, and a lot of times we have a lot of the same audience, and so you put two acts together, you don't necessarily get twice as many people. But it seems to be going like that.
It does seem to be that way.
Twice as many people as either of us get on our own. And it's really exciting because, you know, it just, you know, you got a bigger house to play to. And a lot of people haven't heard me yet. A lot of people haven't heard him yet, or vice versa.
Which is a surprise. But
almost
everybody
knows
sure.
about both of us, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're fans of the music. And it's just been a blast.
Yeah, nobody in the blues world is really a household name, you know.
Right.
Maybe everyone's heard about Buddy Guy or they recognize the name, but generally speaking, there's room for everybody to get new fans. And
that's true.
Yeah.
Hey, Tinsley, I wanted to bring up something interesting. I saw a picture of you on Facebook being involved with the Music Modernization Act.
That's right.
And music advocacy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've gotten... involved with the Recording Academy in Atlanta, and we went and thanked our congressman for passing the Music Modernization Act, and it passed unanimously into Congress. And then the awesome. President signed it into law, and it's going to help us all get our record royalties and stuff like that. Yeah. And it was very cool. Representative Johnson.
Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it when I saw his face on there, because I was like, that's the guy from the Guam video.
Yes. It was an awkward moment for him when he talked about Guam possibly tipping over.
Capsizing. Yeah.
And I'm not sure why he said that, but... He said that, and I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah, you got to watch the video, Tommy. It's
hysterical. It might have been a filibuster. He may have been looking for things to say, but he was. He's our congressman, and we like him very much.
Oh, that's great. And are you doing anything with that, Tommy, out your way?
No, I did get notice of it, you know, and I heard about it, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. And thanks for doing that, Vince.
Well, all I did was thank them. Somebody else drew up the law, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, you got streaming with music. What is a stream? It's not a sale. It's not airplay. They haven't figured out how to pay us for things like Spotify and Apple Music and stuff like that.
Because so many people use those things instead of buying records.
Me too. YouTube.
Stuff. I mean, you know. Yeah. We sell a lot of stuff at shows because people are there. And they're mm-hmm. old school, and that's what they're used to doing. You know, they still have CD players in the car or something
sure.
like that. But it's less and less necessary to pick up a copy of anything. And, you know, even if you, it's even less and less necessary to download music and load it on.
Oh, I know.
Well, the problem I have with that is, and I think the availability of it, I think the availability of it is great, but when you compare the compression ratio of what they stream on Apple Music or Spotify, which is about 256 versus what you get from a CD, when we put it at that resolution, it's a parallel with photographs. You've mm-hmm. got, you know, high resolution photographs, which let's say that's our CD, but then you've got it, as soon as you upload it to Facebook, it's compressed and it goes down into something that when you try to expand it, it's pixelated. You know, you can't really see the depth of the picture.
You're
missing at least half the music when you're just streaming it or listening to it online, or even downloading it.
That's a very good point. I'm going to tell people that.
But
tonight too,
if you listen to blues, and if that's your kind of music, how important is stuff like sound fidelity and things like that?
Yeah.
So what if it stinks? You know, if it stinks, it's not going to sound good at any kind of compression ratio.
My answer to the whole thing, in part, is releasing things on vinyl now.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
Because you can't really download the sound of vinyl, and some people just like the whole idea of vinyl, and so that's a place that's something you can't really get off the internet. You can't stream an album. You know what I mean? You can hear the music. So in a way, it hasn't really taken over. But you know, I try to get these things out in time mm-hmm. for a record.
Oh, I know.
Those plants are backed up for months and months and months from popularity of vinyl again.
I like vinyl because the picture of me is larger on the cover. Yeah. So I like that. And they're easier to read, you know, for my old eyes. You turn it over.
Well,
look
what we just saw in the library down there. Like, we have Albert King's Live Wire Blues Power on vinyl. But speaking of new albums, don't you have a live album in the works?
Got a live album in the works. People have been asking for one, and this is the first live record with Tommy Castro and the Painkillers, this group that we've been having so much fun with lately, and we recorded a lot of shows and took the best of what I thought was the best performances, old songs, new songs, you know, or more recent songs, and I would have loved to do, you know, I really wanted to do a double album, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember double album?
Like Kiss Alive?
Cool.
Yeah, double. Double vinyl.
They were useful, you know?
Yeah, double vinyl was very useful.
Hey, what are you guys going to be... Now, your show is obviously Tinsley or you is going to do a set, and then the other one is going to do a set, and then mm-hmm. you're going to get together and you're going to cohese and do a set together.
Yes.
What do you guys... Can you tell us a little bit about what songs you're planning on playing together?
We can't that's a secret.
All right.
No,
that's a
fresh.
Secret, but it has a lot to do with jam and guitar. It has a lot of the guitar interplay.
Yeah.
And
you guys playing some Fish covers?
Changing, taking turns opening and closing. You know, it gets a double bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's important that we put that out there, that this is a double bill. Tonight we're going on first. Tinsley goes on last.
That's right.
And then I stick around and come out and jam with him. And then last night we did it the other way. You know, he went on first and then came out and jammed with me. And that also keeps it fresh and interesting because we do different songs every night.
Yeah, it is. And whoever goes on second is really trying hard, you know. The first person is...
That's one of the cool things about this thing is, you know, we're friends. And there's very little, you know, real competition going on. You know, we're not, you know... 30-year-old guys running around trying to prove something. I mean, we're very comfortable with who we are and what we play. And our
you should
music.
Be.
And we, you know, all of that stuff is just really not existent. But you damn well want to put on your best show that night. You want to go out like, man, Tim's out there just tearing up that guitar.
He does. You know, I've had people who saw you at Buffalo Ironworks and some other places. Just say the guy was just killing it up there. You know?
Possessed. I'm possessed.
Man possessed. You're really influenced by Freddie King.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
In
and
fact,
you've got...
I just bought the new Freddie King reissue guitar. They made a reissue of his 1961 ES-345.
Benny Turner was pictured with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And man, I tell you, it's the nicest guitar I've ever owned. I don't even play it. It's too nice to play.
Really?
No, I play it in the studio.
He shows it to you like it was one of his kids.
I know.
Have you seen this? Freddie
yeah.
King.
Yeah. Nicest guitar I've ever owned. Man, it sounds great. And maybe I'll bring it out at the Atlanta show. But right now, it's in the vault.
In the vault. And Tommy, what are you playing? You have the Delaney guitar?
I'm still playing the Delaney Castro Caster. It took me a little getting used to because it was an idea that I had for guitar players. I wanted a humbucker, a P90, and a Strat pickup, you know, single coil, all on one guitar. I thought that was a great idea. And as it turns out, it was a little trickier to learn to you know, switch from pickup to pickup because of the output of those things is different. But I've learned to work it, and I'm real comfortable with it now. And it's kind of like a Jazzmaster body with a Strat neck.
Is that copied off of your Black Strat? Is that neck pretty much the measurements of that guitar?
Yeah, that's what I asked for.
Yeah.
Said, you know, I want the Strat to be I want the neck to be what I'm used to, my old Strat neck. And I like the body style of Jazzmasters. And anyway, it's a really cool guitar. You could find it on Delaney's website. Mike,
you know, I put in a couple of tickets to win it last time, but I didn't win the raffle. So are you having another raffle for one of those guitars?
Nothing going on right now, but
when you were here with Mike Zito, you guys had a guitar raffle. So I was just joking that I had put my name in, but didn't pan out. So anyway, guitar. Speaking of guitar players and guitar hero stuff, Tinsley, you shared with me an amazing story. One of the first times that we met many, many years ago, you played a very obscure Sly Williams song called
right.
"I Believe in a Woman."
Mm-hmm.
And when you got off stage, I immediately went up there and said, "That was awesome. I love that tune. I love those two songs from the Blues and D Natural CD mm-hmm. that was from." And you said to me, you go, you know, you're probably one of the only people in a pretty large radius that even knows about that song. So that's when we really started talking. And you said that one time you were hanging out with Stevie Ray Vaughan in Double Trouble, and they came over your house. And
well, they stayed at our house. The first show they did in Atlanta before they had Texas Flood, and Tommy Shannon wasn't even in the band yet. And they played for the Door at this nightclub, and they made $35 for the whole night. So they stayed at the house, and he was going through. My roommate had, at the time, had an incredible CD or album collection, vinyl collection, and Stevie Ray Vaughan picked that album out, Blues in D Natural, Earl Hooker, and a whole bunch of, no, that's not the name of the album. It's called When a Girl Does It. It's the name of that album.
Well, it is on Blues in D Natural. And then
is
another,
it also?
Yeah, there's another compilation called My Guitar Wants to Kill Your Mama.
Anyway, and so Stevie Ray Vaughan put that record on and played air guitar in my living room along with it.
That's awesome.
I know, I mean, but we didn't think of anything at the time. You know, doesn't everybody play air guitar with songs they like? You know, so and I told you that story. That was, Tommy, that was 25 years ago. I told you that story and you remembered it. And no, you're the only one that's ever recognized that song. Tell you the truth.
Wow. What do you know about him? What does anybody know
Sly
about
Williams
him?
Was a guy that put out 245s on one of those little Gulf Coast labels, somebody from Texas.
Wow. Boot Hill, which Johnny Winter and Steve Ray Vaughan covered in that song as well.
Wow. Now I got to check that out.
Oh, it's an amazing guitar, so it's probably on YouTube. What was the name of that song? I Believe in a Woman. Sly Williams.
It's a really raw, like a guy's playing with barbed wire on his guitar, but using the whammy bar liberally. It's almost like Turner-ish, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Johnny Guitar Watson meets early Jimi Hendrix, probably in 1964.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible song.
Yep. Very cool stuff. So what time do you guys go on tonight?
I go on at 8.
You go on pretty soon, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Well, it's
we got time. We got a couple minutes here, right?
Yeah.
I go on at 8 and then do about an hour. There'll be a short intermission, and Tinsley will come on, do about an hour, and then he'll call me up for a little jam, and we'll just, we're really excited about tonight because apparently ticket sales have been pretty brisk, and
Trelf has a really good thing going on down there.
And it's tomorrow's like a holiday for some people?
It's Veterans Day. It's Veterans Day, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a cool story for you guys. You know how there's stories with guitars. I had this jazz box. It's an L5 copy. The neck just wasn't perfect for me. Sounds beautiful and everything. And I had this late friend, Chu Nero, who played in my band and on my CDs for years. He named the guitar Marilyn. And I just decided to sell it. And yesterday, this guy all of a sudden out of the blue contacts me that he wants to buy the guitar. And he's a disabled veteran from Operation Iraqi Freedom in the Gulf War. And I used that guitar for USO stuff overseas in Japan and some of those areas. And it was just, I don't know if you guys have had to like sell guitars or something, but when the reality hit me, today that I was parting with that thing, it was a little emotional. I don't know if you can relate.
I saw the picture on Facebook of that guitar.
Yeah.
Wondering why you were selling it.
Just because the neck wasn't... It gets a little funky after playing it for a while. One of the tendons just starts to kink a little bit.
You don't feel it. You're not feeling it.
Yeah. So I just don't bond with it like I do my Strat, which you guys should check out. I didn't want that to freeze in my guitar, in my car. So, but yeah, anything like that, Tommy?
I lost my guitar, my main guitar, my old 66 Strat got stolen once.
Oh no!
But I got it back.
Okay.
So
awesome!
I remember that was heavy because I got it from a guy named Johnny Nitro, who's a good friend of mine, San Francisco blues guy. He wrote "Dirty Dishes" for Albert Collins.
Wow!
Oh, great song.
Yeah, he actually had a lot of really cool tunes, but he never left the city. He just said, why do I want to go on the road for it? Sooner or later, everybody comes to San Francisco.
Yeah.
So he stayed and played clubs around town and had everybody loved him. He was one of those mentor kind of guys who let young guys come up and play. And, if you had the right attitude and the right intentions, then he would help you out, And anyway, he was a real good friend, and he sold me that guitar for... a song, not literally a song, but he gave it to me for a real good price under the condition that if I ever sold it, I'd have to sell it back to him.
Sell it back to him?
Yeah. And so anyway, that guitar, obviously I played that one the most for the longest period of time. And before I started adventuring away from it, I must have played thousands of gigs on that guitar. So there it was. It was gone. And luckily for me, the thief was stupid enough to pawn it.
You lucked out, man. You lucked out.
Yeah,
and he just pawned it and gave him his ID and the cops just look. Anyway, but I will never forget the feeling of, how I realized how much it meant to me when it was gone.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And how long have you guys known each other?
Well, it's gotta be. Let's just say 25 years.
What was the first album you did on Blind Pig. Which one was that?
The Rule was 1996, I want to say.
Okay. But before that, were you in the Dynatones?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in the Dynatones when I was in the Heart Fixers and we aligned ourselves with Miller Beer?
No.
But that was Randy, your bass player.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would have been...
Larry Dunn would have been in the band.
Yeah, because we were all with the Miller Beer Network. But I didn't know whether you were part of that aggregation.
We had the Castro Band eventually had a little run-in with the Miller Beer people.
Yeah.
You know, they did that, a different band network program.
But yeah.
That was a good deal for bands, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of promotion for you and...
A lot of beer.
And then if you were a beer drinker, and you just endless supplies of that beer.
What do you think about the state of the music nowadays? I see some artists that are leaning towards an Americana thing. When you look at even Shamika Copeland, who's on your label, Geneva Magnus. I get a lot of CDs during the week, and there's maybe one or two of the bunch that are kind of leaning in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys, obviously are still doing what you do,
I like good songs and sometimes, and I have a lot of influences in my music and it's all rooted in blues, but sometimes it's obviously R&B or soul music and sometimes it's rock and roll and all of those things enter into it. And sometimes a song comes out and you just play it the way it wants to be played,
mm-hmm.
and you don't care about what it's going to be, what category it's going to fit in.
I guess that was my question. Was kind of meandering a little bit, but I just wonder how you feel about the health and state of blues music at large. I mean, we've lost B.B. King, Buddy Guy's up there,
Mm-hmm. Well, the blues ain't what it used to be, but it is different, and it never was what it used to be when Son House and Fred McDowell were playing, and then Chicago blues came along and it changed. And then obviously Stevie Ray Vaughan changed it. He's one of the most imitated guitar players since B.B.
Sure.
King. So it just continues to evolve. But people are still writing great songs, and that's what I think Tommy was saying here. It's all about the song, really. And I just read Bruce Iglauer's book about Alligator Records, which is a great book. And I've been struggling to come up with a good definition of what is blues. People say, well, what is blues? You could talk about the historical thing.
That question.
I know, but Johnny Winter had the best description of what blues was. He said, "Blues are songs that have blue notes in them. Blue notes is where you like bend the guitar string,
yeah,
and you know it when you hear it, right? You know when you hear ZZ Top, that's blues because he's bending the guitar string. And Albert King, when he bends the string, that's blues or harmonic or something like that. So
yeah.
That's a great definition.
That is, because, and it's almost akin to like Eastern music, mm-hmm. sitars and stuff like that, because, our Western harmony is based on the 12-tone chromatic scale, right? But the guitar, allowing for the bending,
mm-hmm.
allows you to get in between the 12 tones and get into those microtonal areas that will hit you, whether you're thinking in Eastern like chakras and stuff like that, it will just hit you.
Tension. It's a lot of tension.
Like a voice.
Yeah.
You can use it like you can use your voice, and Derek Trucks, is inspired. His licks are inspired by female gospel singers.
Are they really?
Yeah. Yep. Mahalia Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about that?
He copied the licks that they sang, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's what gets that really amazing, unique stuff.
That's one of the best guitar lessons I ever got was, it was the last year Albert Collins headlined the Chicago Blues Festival. My band was there. We got invited by Pine Top Perkins to jam with him and have some fun with him over there. And we ended up in Kingston Mines, and they've got the one stage and then the other stage. And all of a sudden, Albert Collins just shows up in there, and somebody hands him a guitar to sign. And I was standing right there, and somebody said, "Hey, he's a guitar player." And so the guitar ended up in my hand, and I played Frosty mm-hmm. for Albert Collins.
Wow.
Yeah. Right there. And he goes, "Hey, that's my song."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You know it." And then he pulled me aside and he said, how I developed my style was, he said, I would vocalize the melody I wanted to hear first. So, dun, 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 the classic Albert Collins kind of look. Mm-hmm. He said he would vocalize it and then learn it on the guitar. And that was a big turning point for me. on the guitar when after mm-hmm. that. Then all of a sudden, vocal and breath based players were mm-hmm. big influences for me.
But that's a good way to play, you know, where it's lyrical like that, as opposed to other kinds of music like death metal, where they would be playing like scales and things like that. In blues, we don't really get into the scales thing much, you know. You know, we may have a couple of riffs or something, but we're bending strings and getting things to sustain and stuff like that, which is like what a voice would do.
Take it to 11.
And we take it to 11, that's right.
I talked to Debbie Davies one time. She was on my review a couple of times, and I just said, hey, you know, you knew Albert really well. I mean, how did he come up with that, such a unique style of playing? And she said, you know, Albert was a really smart guy, and he knew that he had to do something different. He just knew that he had to come out mm-hmm. and say his own thing, and it had to be something different than everybody else was doing. And so he consciously created that, and you know, and that's basically, I guess, how he did it was by vocalizing. I didn't know that part. It's interesting mm-hmm. how.
Yeah. So having it internalized first, I mean, that was like a big original move. You know,
yeah, but the tuning, I mean,
right.
The whole thing is just,
and the capo, like, don't forget the capo.
Who comes up with something like that? He didn't get it from anybody else. It was completely unique the way yeah. he plays.
And so awesome.
Albert King, you go,
oh no,
where did he get these ideas from?
Yeah, I don't know, but they all sounded.
Because he was upside down, mm-hmm. maybe that was it.
That's what I like about those old blues is you know it's them. If you hear a Jimmy Reed song, you know it's him right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And or Albert Collins, you know it's him as soon as he hits one note.
Exactly.
I'm not hearing that as much with the new players, you know. We kind of
Can I tell you something?
We need to break out of the pack.
Can
though.
I tell you something about both of you guys? You guys have achieved that. I think you are both identifiable by both vocal and guitar, you know. And you're both, and this is not like checks in the mail kind of talk, you know. It's you guys are. It's amazing and great that you're both together on this tour, because you both embody both the guitar playing, the singing, and the songwriting, and the images that are respective to you, who you are as individuals. And I think that's a big part of your success.
Wow,
really.
Okay,
that's a good thought. Yeah. That's a nice one.
Yeah, I like that.
That
I know. It doesn't get much better than that.
Well, thanks for all that you do, man.
Thanks.
We really do appreciate you. You know, people wouldn't know about us around here if you didn't play our records every Sunday. And you've contributed a lot to us being able to come to Buffalo on a regular basis. And I'm glad to know that you're still out there. And good luck on your next tour.
Thanks.
You're going the right direction. You're going south. We're
Florida.
Going
hey,
yeah.
You're welcome to come along and sit in, man.
Yeah, we're going to New Hampshire and places like that. But we'll think about you on the beach.
All right. Well, we'll keep in touch. Thank you both, Tommy Castro and Tinsley Ellis. They got a show to do tonight at the Trelf at 8 p.m. Don't miss it. If you don't have tickets, they're still available. Head on down there and enjoy yourselves. But thank you, Tommy and Tinsley. We'll be in touch with you guys. Let's play My Old Neighborhood on WBFO.